it's time to talk about audio description. And audio description is a way in which people with very little sight can be made aware of nuances in productions like ballet, movies, even in tours around museums, etc. And one man who avails himself of audio description very frequently is Vidahi Arding. Hello.
How are you, Simon?
I'm well, thank you. And you're a great proponent of this, aren't you?
Well, I am very lucky to have found a medium whereby, through audio description in the last, 15, 20 years, I have found increasingly that I get so much more out of, enjoying the arts. And as you mentioned in your introduction there, Simon, whether it's ballet or opera, musicals, or indeed the visual arts, galleries, museums, etc. If you've got that audio dimension which helps you you look at the overtly visual side of what's either being performed or exhibited or whatever, then in my book, at least, that adds a big, big plus to the whole experience. And I'd like to think that I'm not alone out there and that increasingly fellow visually impaired theatre patrons and museum goers and all the rest of it would think likewise.
I was chatting to Toby Davey earlier, and as you know, he's with Vocalise, who
absolutely
provide audio description for many productions. And he made a point I hadn't really thought about, because I always tend to think of it from our point of view, from our community, who don't see either very well or at all. But it's a way in which a sighted person and somebody who's visually impaired can go and see the same production and both enjoy it together and both get as much out of it.
That's very true. And I think it's what Toby, was getting at, is that it is putting everyone, dare I use the cliche, on the same page. And so that if you're going then home in the car or on the train or on the bus or walking or however you do it, you can share the experience like you would generally. You can say it was great or it was awful or it was, good in parts or, I thought the set was terrific or whatever. And yeah, I think it does just make sure that everyone attending gets as great an appreciation of what is, on stage or in the museum hall or whatever. And it's a real shared experience. I'd entirely agree.
And again, I think a lot of people aren't aware that things like ballet can be audio described as well. And you've been to see Sleeping Beauty at the Birmingham Royal Ballet, haven't you?
Absolutely. So the Birmingham Royal Ballet, as regular listeners, Simon, will perhaps know, I am based in and around the Midlands, so I get to see quite a lot of audio described performances in and around theatres in that part of the world. Birmingham Royal Ballet, no bokeys or prizes for guessing where they're based in terms of what their title is, but have been for quite some time now. And in the last few years, they've taken on the whole concept of audio description and embraced it with alacrity. And we've talked in the past about a number of productions that they've done. There's an annual Nutcracker production in the lead up to Christmas, and there's always one performance of that which is audio described. And I think we had a conversation about that again in the build-up to the festive season. Sleeping Beauty, to my knowledge, hasn't been done as an audio-described performance, although it's one of the popular productions that BRB does quite regularly. And in terms, though, of an audio description, talking to the describers, I don't think they had done it before. And they're resident describers in terms of who the Hippodrome hire in and things. Jonathan Nash and Julia Grundy, who people may have heard me mention in the past from the Sightlines audio description company. So as they hadn't described it there, I would be surprised if it had been done before. It's obviously based on a well-known fairy tale, and the music is Tchaikovsky's. Actually, if I'm honest, I didn't know as much of the music as I thought I might. I knew some of it, and some of it's very, very well-known. But perhaps other ballets, Swan Lake, Nutcracker, this is maybe just a personal take on it, the music I sort of seem to be more familiar with. Anyway, you can still enjoy the music for its own sake in any production, with or without audio description. But ballet being so overtly visual, then the audio description, in my view anyway, is an absolute must. And it's always, I think, the greatest challenge for an audio describer. And I say that because, yes, there's the professional ability to be able to describe that on-stage activity, in this case, the skilled art of ballet itself. But in a way, you are potentially having to walk a bit of a tightrope in the work that you do describing it, because you potentially have in your audience people, and I put myself in this category, who are laymen and who don't necessarily know a lot about ballet and don't necessarily appreciate the terminology associated with some of the moves and the steps and all the rest of it, because it's not something we ourselves or been taught or whatever. And yet you also, at the same time, very often have people who have had ballet classes to all sorts of different degrees and levels who've got a much greater knowledge of ballet per se. And I suppose you can't please all the people all of the time. So I think they skillfully weave a very careful diplomatic sort of theme through their audio description with a view to trying to embrace everyone's needs and requirements, and hopefully with a great degree of success. Certainly in my view they do.
Yeah, that's true what you say, because it'd be very easy to take the actual shine off it, wouldn't it?
It would. You know, and the debate is, do you talk about leaping and jumping or do you talk about pas de deux and pliés and whatever? So And I think all of the above, probably. A lot is context, a lot is nuance, and, you know, as long as people ultimately, in their own different ways, appreciate what is happening in the general and specific sense, then hopefully it's a win-win.
Well, we would like you to have a go at some audio description if you haven't tried it, and a lot more places are doing it now, aren't they, Vida?
They are. And one of the real, again, it's something we do touch on quite a lot when we talk, Simon, but it's only because it is well worth flagging it up as another dimension to people's theatre experience. So Birmingham Royal Ballet are no exception. In fact, they do it particularly well. And what I'm talking about here is what's known as a touch tour. So if you're visually impaired and you've got your tickets for that matinee or whatever the audio described performance is, you and your companions can actually turn up. And it's normally an hour and a half before curtain up. Actually, Birmingham Royal Ballet do theirs a lot earlier. Normally it's ahead of a matinee and it's mid-morning. And that's to allow ballet performers themselves to then warm up on stage and have access to the stage, etc. So there's a logistical sort of reason for doing that. But they lay on an excellent touch tour. Alishka, who is always on hand, one of BRB's key assets, she's very much there to talk us through the set along with Jonathan and Julia, the describers, to show us the costumes, the many, many costumes, and, you know, people literally get a feel for those. And what they also do, because we are assembled relatively early in touch to a term, so 10:30 is when we go on stage, then we go into the costumes, and by about sort of, I don't know, 11:30 coming up to midday, there's still a couple of hours before the actual audio described performance itself. And very generously, they normally, and in my experience it's always happened, they arrange for either one of the dancers or one of the technical team or perhaps the conductor, somebody to come in and over a cup of coffee and a cup of tea and a biscuit and things in one of the hospitality suites, they talk about their particular role for 20 minutes, half an hour or so, and people are able to ask questions. So it's another insight, if you like, into the work of someone associated with that production. On this occasion, it was one of the technical teams. So really engaging. That goes down very well, not just because you get a nice cup of tea, cup of coffee after a busy morning exploring the set and the props and costumes, but actually you get the chance to talk to somebody directly involved. And whether they are performers themselves or part of the all-important supporting backstage crew and all the rest of it, you get another glimpse and an insight, as I said, into, you know, how the production is put together and what the training's involved in that particular role and all of that. And I think that's another hugely enriching part of the day.
And, of course, some of you might be thinking, well, I haven't done this before, but what would I do with my trusty guide dog? But you don't need to worry about that, do you?
You don't. And in my experience, all venues are very, very willing to make the guide dog as welcome as the patron. And if the patron wants to take the guide dog into the performance, then that's accommodated by and large. If the guide dog gets felt would be better off, you know, not necessarily sitting through 2.5 hours of ballet or Shakespeare or whatever it is, and he would prefer, or she would prefer, to have a bit of fresh air and be, you know, looked after by the staff, then they do that as well. And at the Hippodrome, there's a team of volunteers, actually, who are very committed to the various audio-described shows. So not just the ballet, but the opera, the musicals, and whatever else is scheduled across a year, Panto, etc. Two couples and one or two others besides tend to come in and have built up a rapport with some of the regular attendees, particularly, you know, those who do have guide dogs. And I think it's a real treat for them, actually, if I'm honest. They love looking after the animals, and again, it's just another part of making people feel comfortable, welcome, included, and all that adds to making sure you have a good time out.
And you really, all you need to do, first of all, is inquire at the box office, don't you, about whether there is such a production going to be at
Absolutely.
A theatre near you?
So, you know, for those who are happy and comfortable looking at technology and websites, you can go online and there's normally an access page. Or, as you rightly say, Simon, pick up the phone, ring the box office, have a chat with somebody about, you know, if there's a production that you've seen that appeals to you, ask if there's an audio-described performance. If there isn't, then maybe it's worth seeing who you can talk to in the theatre to maybe see if something similar is being done in 6, 9, 12 months' time, whether that might be then and how you can influence that. And they might put you in touch with someone from the creative learning team or someone who has access as part of his or her remit. But have that engagement. Box office is always a good point of contact, and they will know the dates and have all the information ready for the shows that are scheduled and that are audio described, and they can explain to people how all of that works. And when you get there, in terms of, you know, using the headset to hear your audio description, you've never done that before, you might feel a bit daunted by that. People like the volunteers at the Hippodrome and other theatres will have their own teams of people doing this, will show you how that works, what channel to set it on, how to operate the volume. And even for people like me, who certainly don't regard myself as anything remotely technical, I can operate it. So if I can, anyone can. So it is relatively straightforward.
I can vouch for that with you.
Thank you.
Vidar Jarding, you always bring it to life for us, and as always, it's a pleasure to chat with you. Thanks so much for joining us.
Always a pleasure. Thanks a lot, Simon. Take care.